Good morning. I'd invite you to turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 32. This morning we'll be working through the entire book of Acts, and hopefully around 30-ish minutes. And there's a central theme that I would like to look through in Acts. One kind of cause and effect that we see constantly recurring in Acts. And I will get there in just a moment. We will begin in Acts chapter 4 in just a moment. But there is an element of human truth that is always constant within any group that is trying to accomplish a similar goal. Those of you in the business world may have encountered various workshops or whatever you call it with various phrases that become cliche and perhaps even a little bit annoying. Right? Teamwork makes the dream work. There's power in collaboration. Am I ringing any bells? And maybe some eye rolls of various workshops. In the education world, we have what we call PLCs. And this is a concept that is common. I've just re-entered into the coaching world. And so it's kind of a smaller microcosm of that and a very raw type of encounter. And I'll serve one illustration. Say this one illustration that's going to make my point to get us started. I'm coaching freshman basketball this year, freshman girls basketball, which is a new endeavor for me. So I'm having to learn a little bit on the go, but it's really the same as coaching boys. It's really no different. But freshmen are I'm not sure if they're human or not, boys or girls. They might be the most annoying creatures on the planet, and a lot of different ways. And but they're also sometimes the cutest people ever, and I know that sounds kind of weird. But I have this one girl, and she is about 5'1", maybe, and she's extremely fast. She might be one of the quickest athletes I've ever coached, and this will be year 6 of me coaching out of the 8 years of teaching. And she's one of those, if you're familiar with basketball, she's one of those that flies to the basketball goal and she puts the ball up and it makes it to half court going the other way because she has no control. It's just 100 miles an hour. She's wanting to do well. And I love that about her. She's our best defensive player. The head coach has mentioned quite a few things about her. Well, I think it was Friday. Was it Thursday or Friday? We're trying to learn plays. And we hear this voice yelling it at one of the other players. And this other girl, this poor girl who doesn't know what a basketball is, even though she touches one every day. And she's yelling at this girl because she can't get the play right. And we kind of let it slide. Well, then she yells at her again. And then the head coach goes over to her and says, "The only person that's going to yell at anybody like that in this room is one of us coaches." And that's I get a freshman period every day, and then I get to work with a varsity every day as well. And it's a completely different atmosphere. There are these two girls on varsity that know what they're doing, and they teach their players, their teammates. I hear them saying, "Hey, you know, on this play, we'll do this." We're not even addressing that as coaches; it's just in passing. And they get excited when someone else makes a shot. And what do you think the contrast of environment is in those two periods right now? I tell you, when I go to that freshman, when I'm getting ready to coach that freshman period, I'm like, "Oh, it's going to be a lot of work today. I got a long way to go." We go to the varsity, it's just polishing and we're moving and the plays are going faster and it's actually fun to be there. And I think everyone else gets that too. Not that we don't have problems and we have mistakes, but the point here is that there is one thing that is true about us humans that makes a group of individuals that is working together towards a common goal. There is a certain oil that keeps that machine moving. And without it, it doesn't move very well. And it's possible that it doesn't move at all. And it's that of encouragement. Encouragement is a small thing that sometimes goes out of our consciousness, that sometimes we forget to do, and we sometimes can't figure out why this isn't working as it should. I'm working hard. Okay, I know what I should be doing. I know where we're headed, but some reason it's just not quite getting there. And it might be because there is a lack of encouragement. And it's fascinating to see the role that this concept plays in the establishment of the church that we see in Acts and the entire book of Acts. And so I'd like to start in Acts chapter 4. And what I want to do as we look at this concept of encouragement throughout chapter Acts, I want to look at the results of encouragement in this book. For there are going to be quite a few different results as a result of the encouraging efforts of just, most times, one individual. Look at Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And I know we all often hear, you know, one team, one heartbeat, one dream, all of those things. But it's because most cliches, if not all cliches, have an element of truth in them. And until we get all of these individual parts working together, it's not going to move. And here we see that the multitude, a number of these individuals, were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but that had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And here we see the beginning of what we, you know, always talk about Barnabas being the son of encouragement. And we see the atmosphere with which, or the context with which Barnabas is introduced, that everyone is of the same mind. Everyone is willing to do everything for each other, and they don't consider themselves to be these efforts to be coming from themselves, but rather from God. Neither did anyone say any of the things he possessed was his own, but that they all had it in common. And that's the context with which we see Barnabas. And we see him doing the same efforts. And we're going to see him again in Acts chapter 9, verse 26. Go ahead and turn over there. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. What is the result of Barnabas's efforts here of encouragement? What is the reception often of Saul as he's going to these various churches? I don't want that guy here. That guy was persecuting Christians over here. And it's true, and I think it's a reasonable response if we were to put ourselves in those Christian shoes to be apprehensive. And say, I've heard about this guy. There's a massive reputation that he is carrying with him. And what did Barnabas do? Barnabas defended Saul. Barnabas encouraged Saul and said, this guy knows what he's doing. This guy has defended the truth. This guy has done works for Christ. He spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he disputed against the Hellenists. And what is the result of Barnabas's encouragement? others accepted Saul. Because of one man's encouragement, one guy saying, this guy knows how to do it, he can do it. This encouragement led to others accepting Saul. And then what was the result of that? What was the result of the acceptance? They had peace and were edified. How much did it take for Barnabas to encourage Saul? How do you think that made Saul feel? Or Paul? What do you think that did for his spirits in that moment? Well, I think we all can make that inference. I guarantee you it charged his batteries. And I guarantee you he was filled with even more willingness to serve God. Brethren, we all need to have Barnabas within us. Because the effects are great. Encouragement can enable one who is perhaps feeling isolated or is being ridiculed by even brethren. One person standing up and saying, you know, this person is doing really well. This person is trying their hardest for the Lord. That one bit of encouragement can be effectual not only into the acceptance of that person, but then that can result in this overwhelming sense of peace and edification. Because without that acceptance, what do you have? You have strife, right? You have two different camps within one mechanism. If you have two gears working against each other, the wheels ain't going to move. And encouragement can be that thing that we need to get those two gears working together. And that's how we work as humans. Encouragement is very effectual, is extremely effectual in bringing us together and to getting us to accept one another. And as a result, peace and edification can grow. And ultimately, our service to the Lord will be multiplied. And as a result of this, in Acts chapter 11, verse 19, we see that idea continuing. Acts chapter 11, verse 19 through 26. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then the news of these things came into the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and he had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them with all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. What's the effect of Barnabas' encouragement in this instance? What is the result of Barnabas' simple encouragement? The church is filled with vibrancy and vitality. It's living. It's working. And a great many people were added. They all were filled with purpose of heart. And not only that, for a whole year, they continued to teach a great many people. That's what happens with encouragement. That's what happens when you say, you know, I believe you can do it. Not only do I believe you can do it, I believe God can be effectual with this. God's using us, brethren. God's using this man. God's using me for this one cause. And it's contagious, right? It continues. It snowballs into greater work. Encouragement builds the church with vibrancy and vitality. And so if we ever feel that maybe that's lacking a little bit, if we ever feel like we need a shot in the arm, maybe we ought to kind of use Barnabas as an example here. Encouragement works wonders. It works wonders. And it's always effectual. And when we encourage, it changes us, right? It doesn't change the... I mean, it changes the person that we are offering the encouragement to, but it also changes the one offering the encouragement. We become stronger servants. We become more full of the Holy Spirit, as it said in verse 24. And our faith becomes stronger. We can then become strong servants of the Lord. And when we are encouraging others, it creates this sense of boldness within us that you see continuing in Acts chapter 12. So look at Acts chapter 12, verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And then continuing in chapter 13. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell upon him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now while encouragement is not directly named in this verse, it comes on the heels of what we have already talked about. And what was Saul encountering in this moment? He was encountering someone vehemently and actively trying to lead others away from the faith. It wasn't someone who was struggling. It wasn't someone who was not sure where their faith lied. It was an active antagonist towards the cause of Christ. And we're going to have those moments, aren't we? We're going to have those times where those who are against the cause of Christ are going to be against us. And it's not necessarily easy to go against that unless encouragement is there as the foundation. Did Paul hesitate in his defense of Christ? How would you describe his defense of Christ in this moment? I would describe it as being very bold, being confident. And who was with him? Barnabas. How much easier is it to go into a battle when you've got someone that you know has your back because they've had it before? That's the result of encouragement. The result of encouragement helps transform us into those who are struggling or babes into bold defenders of the cause of Christ. And we can't be bold defenders without that. And we won't be effective defenders of truth without encouragement as the foundation. Whenever we have to defend the truth, if it comes from a place of anger or bitterness or hurt, it's not bold. That's exactly what that is bitter. And no one's going to be convinced by that. Because that's not who Christ is. It's not what the Bible is. We have to stand for truth. We have to defend the truth against those who are against the cause of Christ. And we have to do so boldly. But the effective way to do so is from this idea of encouragement. Because we have been transformed by the encouragement of our brethren and by the encouragement of Christ Himself. And this encouragement, this motivation for being a Christian, can motivate us in this way. Look at Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, starting in verse... Time's getting a little bit away from me. Starting in verse 7. And they were preaching the gospel there. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Laconian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitudes, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went to the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. That's a confusing verse. Not what happened, but it's confusing to me at the reaction of these people. And we see and the ignorance of these people. And we see their violent reaction. And we have to know that Paul knew that that was a possibility, correct? When he hears their reaction to the miracle that they are looking at this from a very pagan perspective, and they're starting to grow, not restless, but again, antagonistic, and their emotions are starting to be stirred, what does he do anyway? He defends Christ. Not only does he defend Christ, but he praises Christ. He praises God for what he has done, and he tells them of the blessings that God has given us. And he gets stoned for it. Brethren, without encouragement, that's not possible. When we encourage others, when we receive that encouragement, it enables us to sacrifice ourselves. That's how encouragement transforms us, right? That's what encouragement is. Encouragement is, I'm going to think of that person initially. What are they going through? How might I make their journey stronger, better, so that it can result in work for God? And when that is the result, when that is in our hearts, when we have let encouragement transform us, then we are able to do things like Paul. Paul is a man. No different than you and I. And he's able to sacrifice himself willingly. Partly because of this encouragement that he has received. And think about how close Barnabas and Paul are growing. They've gone through a lot of things together, right? They've lifted each other up. I've had a teacher that was on my team when I was teaching, and he annoyed me every other day. And I love him, and but I wouldn't have made it through a couple of years without that guy. We went through a lot of messing up and trying to figure out a way to teach, and it wasn't working, and you know, our bosses were on us and telling us it wasn't working right, and it was not a fun 2 years at work. But we both went different. We both went to different jobs after those 2 years, and we met up afterwards because we'd gone through a lot together, and we had gotten to be better teachers, I think, and we had done those things and encouraged each other along the entire way, and that's another result of encouragement. Look at Acts chapter 14, starting in verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." We've got this. Okay? We may face some hardships. We may face something that is hard to do at the moment, but it's going to happen. Encouragement brings people together. We don't come together without it. And what brings us together, we encourage each other in our faithfulness to Christ. And we go on reading in this how they appoint elders and how they start establishing the church. And we see this continue in Acts chapter 15. But think about the task that was laid at the hands of these Christians during this time. It's the establishment of the church. It's the beginning. And we see Barnabas and Saul continually not only encouraging each other, but encouraging those around them. And in Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 36, we've seen one last result that we will talk about with encouragement. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. "Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.' Now Barnabas was determined to take with him John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." And there are many different things that we could talk about this, and this is one of those instances that's always talked about, right? Because you see Paul and Barnabas, and they're so close, and then we read that they parted from one another. The contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And that's possible. Things happen, right? We're humans. There are going to be times where contentions arise. But I think the Bible reveals something very important in that last verse of chapter 15. "And he went through Syria, strengthening the churches." What didn't happen as a result of this contention? They never stopped working for Christ. That was never part of the equation, was it? They kept going. They kept working in the vineyard of the Lord. And contentions may arise, but the encouragement to work together for the cause of Christ is something that can never cease. When we encourage men and we encourage each other, then that person can encourage someone else. And in fact, you have even more people working for God, even in this moment of contention. It needs to be a part of who we are, brethren. It needs to be a hallmark of each congregation of the Lord's. That when we go to this place, we're going to be encouraged in the continuance of working for the Lord. And if we come here and the opposite occurs, to where it's harder to serve the Lord. Or we feel a bigger weight as a result of coming together to work for Him, then we're not encouraging one another enough. But the nice thing is that that's a quick fix. That's an easy fix. What did Barnabas do whenever a little encouragement was needed? He just did it. Oh, this guy's got it. And that's the wonderful thing about him. And we see it in Acts. And we did a quick survey, and we could keep going, and you'll see more and more. I mean, they're about to be in prison, right? I don't know how they make it through prison without one another. It's because that encouragement is present. And when we start doing that, brethren, it's going to be a wonderful thing. And how many times have we done that? And it's a wonderful thing. Hey, I haven't, you know, I was gone for 9, 10 years. I don't remember. You know, I've only been back for 2 years. And I know a lot of us have gone through some hard things within those 2 years. But you're still here. We're still here. And I promise you it's because someone in this room helped you. And that's not the only reason, but it definitely helped you get to stay in here. People have encouraged me. Okay, like I said, that was not a fun 2 years I just got done with. The job was extremely stressful. And I wouldn't have been able to keep my mind on God. Wouldn't have been able to keep that constant strain if it weren't for you. So there's my encouragement to you. And I thank you for that. And I think we can be mindful of those times where we have done that with each other and build on it. And be even more like Paul and Barnabas so that encouragement can be effectual and that we can together be stronger servants of the Lord and read about our congregation and think about our congregation like we read about in Acts, where it's filled with vibrancy and vitality and effort, regardless of any type of obstacle that might come in our way. And so I encourage us to continue in this. And we have before us the invitation that allows us to reflect upon our current stance, our current standing where we are. And maybe we can get better about encouragement. Hopefully you've been encouraged. If you've never been baptized, maybe this has given you a little insight as to what Christians are about and what Christ does and who He is. And if you have further questions, I hope that you'll let us know. And if there is anything that we can do for you, if there is anything at all, we would not be living up to our name as Christians if we weren't willing to encourage you in this moment. So if there's anything at all, let us know as we stand and as we sing.